In the autumn of 1939, as Nazi Germany's shadow spreads across Europe, three women from vastly different worlds are set on a collision course that will forever alter their lives. Carolyn Faraday, a former Broadway actress turned New York socialite, works tirelessly at the French consulate, sending care packages to orphaned children. In Poland, spirited teenager Kasia Kuzmarek joins the resistance after witnessing her father's arrest, finding purpose amid chaos. Meanwhile, ambitious German doctor Herta Oberhauser, frustrated by professional limitations imposed on women, sees opportunity in joining the Nazi Party. None could imagine how their lives would become fatally intertwined through Ravensbrück, the notorious women's concentration camp where unspeakable medical experiments would be performed on Polish prisoners who became known as the Rabbits. "If I'd known what was coming, I might have been more afraid," reflects Kasia early in her journey. After being arrested with her mother, Helena, sister Zuzana, and her boyfriend's sister for resistance activities, Kasia enters the deceptive beauty of Ravensbrück, where flower gardens and exotic birds line Beauty Road while horrors unfold inside. Stripped of identity, possessions, and dignity, the women endure unimaginable degradation. The most harrowing chapter begins when Kasia and other Polish women are selected for experimental surgeries. Dr. Oberhauser deliberately creates wounds in their healthy legs to test sulfonamide drugs, leaving them permanently disfigured. These women become known as rabbits, human test subjects. Yet amid this darkness, profound connections form. When Kasia's friend Mrs. Mikelski is killed by a guard's dog, Kasia tenderly marks her body with her prisoner number, placing her with great care along the side, like she was sleeping there, our lioness, our hope, our North Star. How does an educated doctor become a war criminal? Herta's transformation illustrates the terrifying banality of evil. Initially, we see her accompanying her ailing father to his Jewish doctor despite Nazi prohibitions. Yet, she gradually absorbs anti-Semitic ideology, later rationalizing keeping the Jewish doctor's confiscated medical book. The Jews had been warned about the consequences of defying the Führer. Her frustration at being limited to dermatology rather than surgery makes her vulnerable to Ravensbrück's opportunity. The moral descent accelerates when her colleague Fritz forces her to participate in killing an elderly Polish woman by injecting Evipon directly into her heart. When questioning how he manages this work, Fritz coldly states she would simply be replaced if she left. They had quotas from Berlin to meet. "I decided to stay at Ravensbrück after learning of my father's death and my mother's need for rehabilitative care," Herta rationalizes. "My salary had become essential." Through such justifications, we witness how easily moral boundaries shift under pressure and ambition. Caroline Faraday serves as the moral center, a privileged woman who chooses compassion over comfort. While navigating a romance with married French actor Paul Rodier, she repurposes her theater costumes into clothing for orphaned children during wartime fabric shortages. Her life changes when Anise Prestel-Vinay, a French resistance fighter, arrives with a severely ill Polish woman named Janina. After agreeing to care for her, Caroline learns the shocking truth. There are 62 more where she came from. Despite encountering dismissive attitudes, at the April in Paris ball, the Duchess of Windsor asks, "It's been how many years since the war? Doesn't their government help?" Caroline persists. She enlists Norman Cousins to publish an article about the rabbit's plight, generating enough American support to bring the women to the United States for treatment. Later, discovering Herta practicing medicine after early release, Caroline successfully campaigns to have her license revoked, ensuring delayed but not denied justice. Throughout their darkest moments, human connection becomes the lifeline that sustains these women. In Ravensbrück, Kasia and her fellow prisoners create a makeshift family, sharing meager resources and protecting one another. For what seemed like months, we lay immobilized in casts, listening to classical music playing in the Revier, Kasia recalls. "We composed hymns to bread pudding, listened to Regina's stories, and I watched a bird building its nest with human hair." Caroline's relationship with her mother, though sometimes strained, provides another example. When Caroline is devastated by Paul's reunion with his wife, Rena, her mother insists she help find their missing child, despite her heartbreak. It's the Christian thing to do, she says, though Caroline is not feeling particularly charitable. This push toward compassion, even in pain, becomes Caroline's defining characteristic. Even Herta experiences moments of genuine connection, particularly with Helena, a Polish prisoner nurse who transforms the medical ward with her efficiency. When they work together to save an injured guard, Herta glimpses a different way of being. Later, when Helena teaches her to dance to Foxtrot from Warsaw, Herta experiences a rare moment of joy that makes her question her choices. Kelly doesn't end with liberation, but follows her characters through trauma's complex aftermath. Though physically free, Kasia returns to Poland bearing scars that poison her relationships with husband Petrik and daughter Helena. Despite our rescue, I find no joy, only growing anger in my belly, she admits. Her trauma manifests in controlling behavior toward her daughter and emotional distance from her husband. When she discovers her daughter using her mother's special Kalinsky Bosch, given by Marth, her father's new companion, Kasia slaps Helena and breaks the brush in displaced rage. Marth confronts her. Your daughter needs love, she says. When Kasia dismisses her with, you're not even a mother, Marth delivers the painful truth. And neither are you right now, dear girl. This becomes Kasia's turning point, prompting her reflection. I survived Ravensbrück. How could ordinary life be harder than that? Her healing accelerates when Caroline arranges for the rabbits to receive medical treatment in America, the physical repair of her leg becoming symbolic of her emotional healing. Lilac Girls affirms that, even in humanity's darkest moments, light persists through small acts of resistance and kindness. Herr Fenstermacher bowing to prisoners and singing news headlines while pretending to fix wiring. Polish women hiding rabbits from selection. Caroline transforming theater costumes into children's clothing. The novel doesn't minimize suffering. Some characters don't survive. Others face terminal illness despite survival. Yet Kelly shows how meaning emerges from terrible experiences. In the final scene, after confronting Herta, Kasia returns home, slips her mother's brushes under her sleeping daughter's pillow, and joins her husband. For the first time in so long, I felt the compact go click, a simple domestic moment representing her hard-won peace. These intertwined stories remind us that history is made not only by those who commit atrocities, but also by those who resist them, bear witness, and heal their aftermath. Like the lilacs blooming after harsh winters at Caroline's estate, renewal can emerge after unimaginable darkness. Her home still stands today, gardens blooming, a testament to compassion's enduring power.